Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. Make sure you sign up, download the app, and when you sign up, use that code CHGO for sure. Cody Delmendo, Ryan Herrera, Luke Stuckmeyer, and this is a big day at CHGO. Big for who? Big for us?
For us. The diehards.
Big for the diehards. Who are the diehards, you say?
Everybody
that listens to this podcast
yeah.
is a diehard and should be a diehard. We have a right. Look, I look at the first list. Shane, Jack, Sean. Diehards. Every day.
100%.
But there are a lot of people who believe they are Chicago sports diehards, and that's who we reach out to at CHGO.
Yeah.
And so today's the kind of the rebranding of our membership, and we've really made some adjustments to our membership plan. You've seen a lot of it probably on social media going out, a lot of the branding. One of the big things is certainly the discounts you get, right? So it's 20% off to all the events for the year. It's 20% off merch all the time, anytime. It's exclusive merch just for members. It's exclusive deals, exclusive hangouts just for the diehards. It's, more importantly, unlocking lots of our content. So a lot of the stuff that was behind the paywall, for instance, Ryan's great stuff, if you miss some of it during the season, we're unlocking it. Like, we're unlocking lots of it. So yeah. It's still a lot of it real valid. Go back in there right now because we've changed it, unlocked it.
We're going to talk about some of it today.
Going to talk about some of it today, but moving forward, a lot more of it will be unlocked. Of course, there's still reasons, obviously, to want to be a member. That's one of them because there's still some stuff, but we're really trying to reach the diet. We're not trying to exclude people. So we're unlocking a lot of stuff. And we have some great writers. Ryan's one. Will Gottlieb's one. Like, Jay Zawoski does great stuff on hockey.
Vinny Duber writing cricket stories.
How about Duber?
On his honeymoon in Australia.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like,
right. I'm not reading his White Sox stuff, but if he's going to write about cricket at his honeymoon.
And all the Bears stuff. I mean,
from Australia.
Yeah. And it's, yeah,
what if we started a column called Delmetrics, though?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Or I thought, what about a yeah. podcast, Die Hard for the Diehards, just talking about the movie Die Hard around the holidays.
And whether it's a Christmas movie or not
a Christmas
movie.
It is a Christmas movie.
Okay.
Well, it is 100% a Christmas movie. It's all
never seen it.
Christmas I still don't know where I stand on that.
Oh, Joseph, come still, on, bro.
Never seen it get made fun of every day by Matt and Dave. You know who else hasn't seen it is Io. So it's fine.
That's true.
I've never seen Die Hard?
No. It came out like 12... Like, came out, like, 15 years before we were born.
But he's also younger than you, so.
Only
like,
by a couple months.
Wow. Okay.
Io, if you want to be friends.
You know what? Just let me know. You know what Christmas song that I really, really love to hate, though?
No.
That Mariah Carey one.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the only one I like.
By the way, have you ever
I can hear
seen,
it one time, and then I'm done.
Have you seen it, though, the time that she went to sing it live on, like, NBC or one of those Christmas specials for the lighting of the tree at Rockefeller?
And got a bad reaction. Yeah.
No, she lost the song like in her ear, and she was actually singing it live. It's so outrageously bad that it's worse than Cody singing Creed. and that is a level of singing that I don't think I've heard. I'm serious when I say you can't believe she's even a professional. It's that bad. It's like your worst nightmare of like your cousin singing in the shower or something.
I mean, I guess the song version of it. That's the only Christmas song I really enjoy. Like, I don't know. I think Christmas. I love Christmas, obviously, but I think Christmas music is a little overrated, and the classics are very old.
As someone who used to work 8 to 10 hour days at a grocery store stocking shelves when I was like 18 years old,
yippee-ki-yay.
I cannot do Christmas music anymore.
No,
because they would start it literally the day after Halloween, and it would play all the way up until hell, even New Year's.
Yeah,
like I couldn't do it, man. I can't do it anymore. People will call me a Grinch or whatever because of that, but, like, I don't care. Like, scarred.
Scarred, huh?
Scarred.
Nah, I like hearing
movies.
The Christmas
movies.
Christmas
are
movies now, though.
Sean wants to know if Gremlins is a Christmas movie. Yes.
I've never seen
wondering if, do you think Correa's seen Die Hard?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah,
the Super Chat.
Super Chat.
He's seen
Correa. Probably. Correa's definitely seen Die Hard.
Come on.
Maybe we can
he's
ask him.
He's not that much older than I am.
He's like,
listen, if the
2 years
Cubs could sign John McClain right now, I would do it.
Maybe if he signs with the Cubs, you know, I'll ask him. Will be one of the first things I ask him.
Flex.
Training is if
Flex.
See, that's why we have a guy who goes to the ballpark.
Right? Flex.
Speaking of
number
which,
one
though,
question, how many Jordans do you own? Second question, have you seen Die Hard?
But did you hear, everyone in the chat, did you hear the voice behind the producer mic today? It's Joey.
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 Joey. Joey.
Relax, everybody.
Yeah,
relax.
I mean, listen, these Bulls guys think they have control of Joey's schedule, and then we
show Joey.
Said, hold on, fellas, your team sucks.
We're missing Joey's superfan, Jack. He jumped in the stream at the very end of yesterday's show, and I felt bad for him because he said in the chat that that he's in school during our show in the off season, and now that Joey is here and he's probably
cool.
In class
we'll
right
be
now
doing bets later, so you know he's
that's
always he's
always
in the,
up for that.
He's always in the bet.
I don't
show.
Know the Bulls team just borrowed him for the season.
Yeah,
but Joey's ours. He was ours first.
Also, Jack, just get an earpiece. Like they're so small these days that
yeah, there you go.
Teachers aren't ever going to see that stuff. You know. Also, part of the Die Hard plan, like members that were currently or original members, automatically being upgraded to Die Hard level.
Mm-hmm.
The Die Hard card, right? You're getting the Die Hard card and free merch every year. So you get a free shirt or hat every year.
Every time it renews, right?
Every time you renew, you get the free hat, free shirt when you renew it. I mean, that's the membership alone. When you talk about the discounts, you're going to get to all these things, the discounts on the merch and the free shirt, the free shirt is like halfway to earning your way for the year.
Yeah.
So like the content and everything you're getting, plus all the discounts and opportunities. We're also going to do some like Zoom happy hours.
Yes.
Well, we're just going to hang out and have drinks on Zoom. So instead of chatting with, you know, Shane and Jack and RWB team here, we'll be able to see faces.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Discord is still going to be going.
Discord. I like Shane's comment. He says, I get a card. You can get that card and you can be like that guy at Boston College.
With the Costco
card?
That was sweet.
Wow, I mean,
pull it out.
Cody, you should meme that.
I'm still mind blown by the Costco card helping that guy land that girl. I mean, if I would have had that when I was a teenager, I would have had significantly less pain growing up. So, like, you can use your CHGO diehard card to just up your game. You know what I mean?
I'm taken. Cody's taken. Ryan.
This is right up Ryan's alley, man.
You get the diehard card out, and you walk in to wherever you want, Wrigleyville. You're going to have a drink after the game. You walk into Murphy's. You go up to the bar, you see the girl you like, and you just slide the Die Hard card across the table.
Yeah, I mean,
It's over.
And then you say
CHGO.
I liken the Die Hard card to the Chipotle Gold card, except it is better.
Yeah.
But the Chipotle Gold card is like, one and two top cards you could get. Sam's Club is number three for me.
Have I told the Michael Barrett card story?
No.
I don't know.
So, Michael, I had to present a Cubs Player of the Year at a March of Dimes banquet, and for that year it had been selected as Michael Barrett. Like, he had done a lot of things in the community and had a good season, right? And so I went about saying that when I was on the road once, I was eating at a Cracker Barrel, and nobody is just an everyday Joe more than Michael Barrett, because there was Michael Barrett and his family eating the Uncle Herschel special just across the table. And I was like, this is unbelievable. You have a Cubs player eating Cracker Barrel. I said this in the March of Dimes banquet. Next spring training comes, Michael Barrett comes bear-hugging me in the HoHoCam Arizona clubhouse because he's like, you're not going to believe this. He goes into his locker, and Cracker Barrel has sent him a gold card, free Cracker Barrel for life.
Ooh. Just card. Because you talked about it.
Now, that is sweet, but it is still not as big as our diehard card.
No, not at all.
Free Cracker Barrel's pretty nice.
Joel says he's about to go ham with his CHGO card at the Scottsdale Mall.
Yes. Yes.
Shane said he's taking a CHGO card,
YouTube channel,
going to hang
free.
Out with Zach Wilson and go big game hunting.
Yeah, it's not just the CHGO card, guys. It's the diehard.
The diehard
card.
Yes.
And Matt says he's going to use it at Wiener Circle.
There you go.
You'll get something there.
You definitely get
might not be what you're expecting, but
go ask for a chocolate shake while you're at it.
slide the diehard card across and be like, one chocolate shake, please.
This is great.
No, and you will get unexpected results.
This is all such good stuff. Like, this has been a great day. Big launch of the diehard membership. Very excited for what this is going to do. And it feels like everyone, all the feedback we're getting
is
everyone is excited.
Shout out to the 69 people in the chat who are just diehards.
Yeah.
Because it is November 17th and Carlos Correa is still a free agent. Yet we're still here talking about it and all the other things along with everything going on here. And I think that proves just how much diehard Cubs fans are.
And if you want to sign up,
on top of being 100% diehards of us. So
if you want to sign up for a diehard card and, or diehard membership, if you want to sign up for a diehard membership, go to allchgo.com. It's in there. You get all the stuff. There's a whole CHGO diehard little tab that you can pull down. It has merch, events, lounge, newsletter, content. It's got everything. You can go sign up there.
And it's annual. It's yearly. It's $79.99. It's $80 a year. And you're getting 20% off all of our events. You're getting special events. You're getting special merch. You're getting 20% off all the merch. You buy one shirt, you get the free shirt. You're practically making money on the end of it. And one of the things they unlocked for you was, you know, some of the old articles, and one of the most recent one was after the GM meetings, you had the five questions for the Cubs, right?
Mm-hmm. Five questions the Cubs need to
answer. All those five questions, and go check it out, allchgo.com. It's open, so there'll be lots of Cubs articles if you weren't a member that you will now be able to see starting to pop up in there. Which of those five questions is still the most valid? For me, it's the shortstop thing, right? Like, will they sign a shortstop? And, you know, the title of this podcast, why is Correa not a Cub yet? What are we waiting for?
That was the one. That was the number one question I posed in that article, and it still is to me. I think it's still the position that
it's the question of the offseason.
It's the one that makes everything else work because it allows, you know, obviously the up the middle diehards get ice cream followed by a Marlboro.
Shout out to Matt. What a comment! Yes. I only wish you would have done it as a super chat.
What's the comment? Right. Matt says diehards get ice cream followed by a Marlboro with the naked deck guy. And the problem is that Matt actually is the naked deck guy.
Probably is. A plot twist that would be if that were true.
Ryan, shortstops. Man. Yes.
Sorry, sometimes the chat is distracting, and then I love it.
Hold on, wait. One more distracting thing.
Okay,
sorry.
One more. Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
Hold on, wait. I made this for Cody.
You made something? Yes.
Yeah, there it is. There it is.
See it's the girl from Boston College with her diehard card.
Is that Will Gottlieb in the front of that picture?
We'll tweet that out from the account. Right
I already
there.
Tweeted it. Sorry.
Okay, there you go. All right. We'll retweet you, Joey.
Thank you.
Yeah, back to shortstops. That's the position that it feels like makes everything else work because it gives you a big power bat that you want because the Cubs didn't have a lot of it, especially if you get a guy like Correa.
And
you
know, Wilson gone.
Yeah, Wilson's gone, so you're trying to replace one anyway, but especially a guy like Correa, you know, Trey Turner had some pop this year, like some impressive pop. They all can hit home runs, which is something the Cubs didn't do enough this past season. So it adds that element to the lineup. Also gives you another very good up-the-middle defender in a time when, again, the shift is being banned. The Cubs have all these ground ball pitchers. Like, you're going to need premium up-the-middle defense. And these guys will provide that. And then, you know, it provides a lot of versatility this year. And then, you know, later when, because Nico's still young, he's younger than all those guys. If those guys start to grow old a little bit and need to move off shortstop, well, you got Nico who can move right back into it. And those guys can move to third or can move to second, whatever it is. It's just the position that makes the most sense to bring someone in this offseason. And that's why it's the number one question to me is can they do it? Not should they do it, not will they do it, just can they do it? Because, will you know, can they pony up, give up the money that they're going to have to, and then can they convince these guys to come to Chicago? That's the big thing.
They better do it. You know, Trevor's saying Nico would win the Gold Glove for a decade at second base. Well, that's the idea, to have really good defense up the middle. It's like when they had Dunston and Rhino there for a while. Like, that's the kind of combo you need, is the super athletic guy and the guy that's so steady and just not go over and over, just going to make the play, make the play, make the play. And Nico has shown he can be that athletic guy too. So I would love to see, you know, them just gobbling up ground balls that are hit up the middle nonstop next season.
Well, for Nico, he was a Gold Glove finalist his like true rookie season at second base. And he probably should have been a Gold Glove finalist this year. I'm still curious why.
We all agree with that.
Curious why he wasn't. But if he wasn't in the top three, he had to have been number four. So he should have been a finalist at shortstop. So just to think that he's entering his prime now, he could easily be perennial Gold Glove candidate for the next 5, 6, 7, you know, however many years that he's, as long as he's healthy, you know. It's just, that just makes everything as far as defensively up the middle. You don't have to worry about it.
And I see in the chat people are wondering, where's Colada to laugh at our Correa talk, because he's the pessimist. Well, that's clear. He already received his diehard card, and he's out there hitting the town, most likely.
Probably.
Yeah, possibly.
71 ain't going to stop him from pushing that diehard card around town. Get you in a lot of places.
Are you a diehard?
Yeah, buffets start at 5 o'clock. You get in early.
You go
early bird special.
You know, there's like
diehard card, Old Country Buffet, slide it.
There's also people like me and Joey who do look a little younger, do still get ID'd at bars. What if we just, you know, pull out the?
You're suggesting I wouldn't get ID'd at a bar?
No,
I don't think
that is false. I went to a bar. I went to a dinner with my parents the other day, and they carded them.
Oh, I don't get carded when I'm at dinner with my parents.
I haven't even been to a bar.
They got carded.
Like,
but you didn't.
I was being carded.
Oh, you did get carded.
I got carded. I got carded on my honeymoon, and I was 43.
I don't know.
How you like them apples, kids?
Either way, you pull it out there, you may not even need an ID because you got the diehard card.
Right.
I just let you ID. Yeah. Excuse me, sir. I'm a CHEO diehard.
I'll skip the entire line, thank you.
You don't need a passport anymore. You don't need a passport anymore. You don't need that stupid real ID.
Yeah.
You break out that diehard card, throw it across. Officer, I'm at you, please roll down the window. Shh.
I'm going to Cancun in January. I'm definitely just going to take my CHGO diehard card. That's getting me to Cancun, no doubt.
When Cody gets pulled over going 17 miles an hour. Cody gets pulled over 17 miles an hour going the wrong direction on that scooter without a helmet, all he's got to do is show that ID.
Yeah.
Officer, diehard.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Sorry, Mr. Domundo.
May I interest your podcast. You in diehard?
All this diehard talk is launched the porn bots onto our chat on YouTube.
They're gone. Got them out
Thank
in record
you. Thank
time.
You. By the way, I love the diehard logo.
Yes, the diehard logo is awesome. Another thing Ryan's article that we haven't really talked about, and I'm surprised we did not discuss. We didn't discuss it yesterday because we had Tommy Hotovy. You should go check that show out if you haven't. We didn't discuss the guys the Cubs decided to keep on the roster or put on the 40-man
from
the Rule 5 draft protection deadline, which is Kevin Alcantara, Ben Brown, Ryan Jensen, and Brandon Davis.
And of the four, really only Ryan Jensen would have been the one in question, right?
Yeah, he was like, I would... Mm-hmm.
Borderline.
A former first-round pick.
A little more of a surprise.
Mm-hmm. They were hoping he's a starter, has been good as a reliever, right?
I don't know if they know what he's going to be. Like, he could still potentially be a starter.
Spent a lot of time on the developmental list this year.
Yeah, he spent like a month in the developmental list, down in Arizona working on things.
He was like the...
I didn't even want to say surprise, but it was the one that was like the other three were locks and he wasn't.
It was the only question mark out of that group.
Like it was like Brandon Davis, Ben Brown, Kevin Alcantara were they were 100%. Brendan Davis is probably going to be ready to go at some point next year. You know, Kevin Alcantara is a top 100 prospect. Even if he's not ready to go in the next 2 years,
you can't afford that bad team would be willing to sit him on their 40 man.
Yeah. You don't let a guy like that, you know, be at risk of getting taken in the Rule 5 draft. And then you have Ben Brown, who showed a lot of good stuff with the Phillies, enough that when the Cubs got him, it was pretty much, even then, it was like, it's pretty much a done deal. The Cubs were going to put him on the.
Yeah, he was the Robertson deal, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was going to happen as long as he pitched well in Iowa or in Tennessee when he came over to the Cubs, and he did that. So he had like a 32.1% strikeout rate, I want to say, with Tennessee. So he very quickly locked in his spot on the 40-man this offseason.
Yeah,
Ryan Jensen is the one.
Greg Huss, when we had him on the day of the deadline, you know, in regards to – I wish we should ask him more about his thoughts on Kevin Alcantara, but there's a tweet that he sent weeks before we had him on where he said that he thinks Kevin Alcantara has, like, could be a top 20 prospect by the end of next year or something like that. And – so it wasn't a surprise to see Alcantara make it on there, because even though we're not going to see him until 2024, unless he goes to South Bend, and
it may be even later than that, maybe like 2025. Like, not saying that
he's
it
like,
has to be.
Well, he's like 19, 20 years old.
Yeah. And again, remember, this is how valuable this guy is to the Cubs organization, that they're protecting him at this age, even though he's still this far away. Mm. He's the guy you got for Rizzo.
Yeah.
So, I again, all the Rizzo talk we've done over the last 7-8 months, like, it's they got something back. They made the most of that deal.
And I don't know what Ryan Jensen's going to end up being. I mean, not
– they don't know what Ryan Jensen's going to end up
being. This year was kind of a step back for him, it felt like, considering what he had did in 2021. I mean, he won Minor League Pitcher of the Month for one of those months in 2021 with the Cubs. It seemed like he was starting to trend up and perhaps maybe – find a way onto the roster last year. Just didn't happen. Looks like I don't know off the top of my head what happened, but hopefully, you know, with this time on the developmental list and, you know, this off season, hopefully, like, I could see him potentially make an appearance for the Cubs next year in some way or form. I don't know what. Like, it'd either be out of the bullpen or, you know, if they maybe as a starter, but I would assume out of the bullpen at this point, but I'm not sure. But
he might not make the playoff roster, but he could play. He might not make their World Series roster next year, but he, you know.
And Brendan Davis, like, you knew he was going to make it on there because, like there's no way.
I also feel like, yeah, especially considering now that Ryan Jensen is on the 40-man roster, to get another guy that isn't on the he would be easy enough to bring up if they need someone to come up and take a spot in the pitching staff, because he's already on the 40-man. So all it takes is you know, bringing him up, optioning him back down. Whereas a guy like, you know, I don't know, I don't even know a name off the top of my head, but other guys that obviously aren't on the 40-man would take having to open up one of those spots. So that would take someone having to go on the 60-man or someone being DFA'd, all, you know, these different kind of maneuvers that would take opening up a 40-man spot. It makes it way easier to assume that when they do need an arm from AAA, if, you know, that's going to be Ryan Jensen.
Right.
Because he's easy enough to call him up and see if he can, you know, figure things out at the major league level.
And, you know, Trevor's pointing out they decided to protect him over somebody like Cam Sanders. And that's who Greg was talking about. Like, his stuff's good enough. If somebody's going to get plucked off that list from the Cubs, you're not going to lose all the guys you didn't protect. But somebody like Cam Sanders, who's, you know, pumping heat there, like, and as a reliever, those are the type of guys that teams can stash, even if a guy's not totally ready for the major leagues yet. So, I mean, they were interesting decisions. And again, the type of decision you want your franchise to have to make often, because that shows that you have talent in the system coming at all levels. And so, it's a good thing. Now, the Cubs did go through their whole tendering offer thing to Wilson Contreras, who turned it down. That deadline for tendering offers to players is coming up on Friday. The Dodgers still have not done it with Cody Bellinger. So, you know, not to date the podcast too much, but that's a guy that we've heard a lot of teams talking about, and we've heard Cubs fans in the chat and here like saying, well, I'd be interested in kicking the tires on Cody Bellinger. Has he been a good hitter? No, not the last couple of years, but he has also proven he can play at an MVP level, and he's very good defensively.
I think we'd all rather have him than Kevin Kiermaier.
I'd rather have his upside. Yes.
Yeah, the upside.
I'm
If they were equal everything. Price, yes.
Right. But I think they'd have to pay Cody Bellinger more based off the arbitration left, right? Isn't that how it works?
No. I'm not sure exactly how
it works. I don't know how it works.
Well, think about what happened with Schwarber. He went out and signed a $10 million deal. I don't know if that had anything to do with his arbitration or not. I mean, I could be wrong on that. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. Maybe it is. But I know that.
I would like to see the Cubs be able to identify whatever changed for him offensively.
Well, Dustin Kelly.
We're
going to
talk
about
Dustin Kelly here in the next segment. Like, let's hope that is a guy. I said he would have been in LA working for the Dodgers with their hitters when Cody Bellinger was at his peak. So if he knows something and he's told the Cubs, then that is certainly someone you would think that they would target, because we know that the upside of finding that guy is MVP level player.
Yeah.
If you could figure out what that is, MVP level player, the floor for him is a less expensive Jason Hayward and a better defensive player than what Hayward is now at this point in his career.
At this point,
more versatile. He could play first base. He could play center field.
Left-handed bat, too.
And a left-handed bat.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, so Jack Brown points out Bellinger gets $18 million if he is tendered. Yeah. Again,
either way, it's for one year. Yeah, it's 1 year. So it's not even like that big of a deal.
I think we've kind of gotten the expectation that no matter what you're paying him, it's not about one year.
It's worth the try.
It's not about the years. It's not about the money. It's more about the years and length of contract. Yes. Sorry for interrupting you twice. Do it all the time.
Well, you do it to me too.
I just interrupted both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interrupt. all right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We are going to talk about Dustin Kelly, that key guy, in a second, because he spoke recently. But first, Green Ridge Farm is a Chicago local meat and cheese company offering you a better, all-natural option. Just had a bratwurst for lunch on the grill here at CHGO.
Oh, yes.
Makers of all-natural deli meat, sausages, and their famous meat sticks, perfect for tailgating, happy hour, and school lunches. These all-natural meat sticks are hardwood smoked for 8 hours, 16 grams of protein per stick packed in there, making it a perfect post-workout snack. Meat sticks and chicken, black forest beef, flavors like jalapeno cheddar and spicy chili. If you haven't tried them, you don't know what you're missing. And they are delicious because they're made from recipes that are generations in the making. And being all natural, they deliver a fresh, flavorful alternative at snack time. You can always find them in the refrigerated section at Costco, Sam's Club, or in your local Chicagoland grocery store. Right now, when you order any three meat products at greenridgefarm.com, include a pack of meat sticks in your cart, because those meat sticks are free. All you have to do is use the code CHGO at checkout.
Green Ridge Farm. Look at that.
Simply natural meat.
Die hard.
Beautiful.
Meat sticks.
Polish spelling out die hard.
Die hard.
Die hard. And then the card. And you get a 20% off that Polish.
There you go.
ComEd facility. Let's talk about them, because the Cubs just put the free lights up. You know, the new lights, the LED lights, it's going to change the way Wrigley looks.
ComEd Energy. Here, it looks like.
By the way, before I get to that, I want to get together at the skating rink that's going up at Wrigley. Is it this Friday? I think it's tomorrow.
Yeah,
I think tomorrow's the debut day for the Winter Wonderland at Wrigley.
Mm-hmm. I think so too.
It is, the 18th,
I want to see Cody pull off a triple sow cow in a pair of skates. I don't know what that is, but it's some sort of jump and flip and twirl.
I can't ice skate. I'm just looking forward to going down the big slide. Thank you.
I've never been able to ice skate either.
Yeah, I can't do it. I've gone to the what they call it, the Chris Kendall Market. That's at Wrigley every year. It's basically the same thing this year. I went last year, went the year before. I love going to get the cider.
Oh, yeah.
The cider.
Wassel, I think they call it.
It's like There's some alcohol in there. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's usually schnapps.
Yeah, but it's good. In the cider. It's the stuff. And then there's also... It's delicious. Like, they always have all the food from, like, all the local places.
You know who's going to be here tomorrow? You don't talk about skating. Tomorrow morning, Marion Hoss is coming in for the Blackhawks podcast. 81's going to be here.
On the Blackhawks podcast. Legend. Chicago legend. Blackhawks.
We're going to get our own legend.
Arguably, with John Lester, the greatest free agent signing in Chicago sports history. Yeah.
He's up there, what, three-time Stanley Cup champion?
We need to get John Lester on this podcast and then hold Corey back, you know?
Corey will be breaking down the door to get in here if John Lester's in the studio.
Right?
Ron is in the chat, by the way. Hey, ComEd Energy Efficiency Program, committed to helping families and businesses in the communities we serve save money and energy. ComEd offers free facility assessments that can help you find energy-saving opportunities, whether it's lighting, HVAC, commercial kitchen equipment, or industrial processes. An authorized engineer is going to work with you to develop a detailed assessment plan specific to your goals and your needs. It can be done in person or virtually, and it'll last approximately 2 hours. Then within 3 to 4 weeks, customers receive a report detailing energy efficiency projects that they can start working on right away. Each recommendation will include estimated energy savings, project costs, potential incentives, and simple payback. So don't wait. Get started saving money and energy today. For energy saving tips, to schedule your free facility assessment, go to comed.com/poweringbiz. comed.com/poweringbiz. If you're ready to sign up for that facility assessment, call them at 1-855-433-2700 during normal business hours to speak with a ComEd Energy Efficiency Program representative. You can also email businessee@comed.com or request that assessment online at their website, comed.com/facility assessment. So Dustin Kelly, as mentioned, came through the Dodgers system, super highly thought of in the Cubs system, and so I believe they were afraid of losing him and promoted him to hitting coach for the Cubs. He spoke yesterday, Ryan?
Yeah, we had a Zoom with the media yesterday.
What were your impressions? What do you think of him?
Impressions is he's obviously confident in his ability to do the job. One of the things I asked him was basically like, you know, the Cubs have been a revolving door of hitting coaches over the last decade. I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but, it's definitely in the double digits as far as, you know, pitching coaches, assistant pitching coaches, how the turnover there. It's not limited to the Cubs. Being a hitting coach is hard.
Right.
And staying a pitching coach is hard.
yes.
Pitching coach. Sorry. I keep hitting saying coach, pitching. Yes. Hitting. Hitting coach. Because we just had Tommy Hotovy on the show
That's
yesterday.
Right.
I keep saying pitching. Being a hitting coach is hard and staying a hitting coach is hard at the big league level. But he feels confident because, you know, he's worked in the system for 2 years.
Right.
He was the minor league hitting coordinator for 2 years. A lot of the guys that are coming up now, he's worked with already in the past. You know, Chris Morrell came up last year. He'd worked with him for a little while.
The young hitters made progress.
Brendan Davis, Alexander Canario, when they hopefully eventually come up, will have worked with Dustin Kelly at least for a little bit of time in some capacity. P. Carl Armstrong, same way. Matt Mervis, he talked a lot about Matt Mervis and the changes he made and the just how much he blew up this year. But the part that makes it like, okay, maybe this could be the guy, again, is because he has been in the system for a few years now, that he knows who these players are and what makes them tick and what's their strengths, what's their weaknesses. He doesn't have to relearn all those things
right.
for a new system. And so once they do start coming up to the major league level, he already has that relationship built. And that, you know, that makes everything quicker. Makes everything quicker, makes everything easier. I don't know that he's going to be a guy that sticks around for more than a year, which seems like every hitting coach the Cubs have had for the last 10 years has been like 1 year deals and then are gone. He may end up being a guy that, you know, sticks around for a few more, maybe sticks around for a long time.
You know, like, to make his job easier, Carlos Correa.
I mean, yeah, that would help.
That helps a hitting coach. Hey, I got Correa in the lineup.
I do like the fact that, you know, he's worked with guys in the minors, so, you know, if you want to look back at some of the previous hitting coaches, I mean, you know, we all know what happened with the whole Chili Davis thing, right? Where him and, you know, the core guys just did not click. They didn't. They were like, you know, the core guys, at least from what we know, at least from what I know as a fan and what I feel like I've basically been told, is that, you know, core guys were like, hey, you see the ring on my finger? Like, I'm going to do what I do. And then, and he was, you know, all about this other style. So from that perspective, I'm just like, okay, so he's been working with these guys in the minors. A lot of these guys in the minors, they're all going to be on this team eventually. Like, at least you got, like, at least they're going to be familiarized with someone. So to me, that's all that matters. I mean, I know people like to scapegoat the hitting coach over the years, and that's not even just the Cubs. That's just fan bases in general when it comes to this game. I get it. But to me, it's more about, okay, do the players like the guy? Do the players, do they buy into what he's preaching and talking about? If they do, then great. That's all I care about.
We want the Tommy Hotovy version for a hitting coach.
Yes.
That's what we're looking
absolutely
for. We're looking for Hotovy as a hitting coach.
Yes.
By the way, do we have an alarm, Joey? Do we have some sort of, you know, party tune? There it is, huh? Matthew Gregory, there it is. Just signed up to be a diehard.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you.
He's a big supporter. He's a big supporter.
I knew he was a diehard already because he's in the chat all the time.
Right.
And now he's a diehard with discounts in his pocket.
Yeah. He's a big fan of what we're doing here, and I appreciate that.
Another thing is that, you know, when we talked about, you know, the Cubs promoted a couple guys to assistant or to assistant hitting coaches. They have three assistant hitting coaches now. It's Jim Aducci, Johnny Washington, who was already assistant hitting coach last year, and now, you know, Juan Cabreja. They're all there, and one of the things is, like, how is that going to work, right? Like, you have a pitching coach, an assistant. I keep saying pitching coach. You have a hitting coach, an assistant hitting coach, and now you have two more. Like, how is that going to work? And he just kind of said, you know, it's a collective group of guys, you know, they all bring something different to the table. He's going to have his things. Johnny Washington has his stuff. You know, Pepe Cabreja and Jim Aducci all have their different things that they bring to the table. And, you know, the Dodgers have done that in the past, having multiple hitting.
Oh, they've had multiple hitting coaches.
Yes, like, not obviously there's one head hitting coach.
Sure, yeah, but like,
there's a group of people, you know, running that kind of major league hitting department, so to speak. And it's obviously been successful. The Dodgers have been the best team in baseball, you know, best organization in baseball for 10 years now, right?
Yeah.
At least that long.
At least as far as how of what everyone wants. Like, yeah, they we can sit here and talk about the only World Series they have is the Mickey Mouse one, but
yeah,
we all wish that our team was as competitive as they are.
Yeah, exactly. Year in and, year out. And they've done that. And, you know, he was the Dodgers. He has seen the three or four man hitting coach staffs and how well that can be run if you do it the right way. And he thinks they can. He thinks, you know, even if it's like something where he comes in and his message isn't getting across as well as he'd like, well, then, you know, Johnny Washington has a lot of respect from these players, and what he says matters. And maybe the way he says it in a different way kind of gets that message across clearer. Or, you know, Juan Cabrera has been with the Cubs for a very long time.
So is Jim Aducci. Yeah, he was in the farm system as an outfielder forever.
Yeah, yeah. So these guys that have been around for a long time, and then especially, you know, Juan Cabrera with a lot of the Latin players, maybe something Dustin Kelly says – Maybe it's lost in translation in some way. Well, Juan Cabrera can be the guy that to obviously bridge that gap. So there's a bunch of different guys. It seems weird to have more than like to have when we saw three assistant hitting coaches, we're like, huh, that's curious.
Yeah.
But the way he explains it and the way he sees them working in tandem, you know, bringing their own thing. He called it a Swiss Army knife, right? They all bring their like one's the. The screwdriver, you know, whatever.
As long as they're communicating
yeah.
a similar message to the players and it's not four different messages.
No, yeah, that, and that's
right? That's the goal.
That's the goal, and he feels confident in that because, you know, a guy like, again, Juan Cabrera wasn't titled an assistant hitting coach last year. He's worked with them in a similar capacity to what he's going to do now. And so it's not adding a fresh, brand new face into this crazy group. It's like you're just really they've given titles and promoted and done well by these guys that have been around helping out in some capacity anyway. It's going to be it may be a challenge to make sure the group is always cohesive and communicating well. But it seems like he's very confident in their ability to do that. And so I'm looking forward to seeing how that works out.
I just hope it works. I hope the whole thing works. You know, it seems like on paper, it seems like a good plan. I just hope he's the hitting coach for the next 10 years.
Right.
You know, I hope he's the guy and he's the hitting coach for the next great team and it continues. And they keep paying him and giving him raises if he's doing a good job.
I know Brant Brown is not a name that we like to talk about, but, I mean, he's been with the Dodgers for a long time.
That's right.
They're a hitting coach.
Escaped the Cubs organization.
Yeah.
After, oh, no.
And I've actually talked to Brant Brown before during when the Cubs and the Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire documentary came out. Way before CHGO, I had the chance to interview Brant Brown and talk to him about what it was like being a hitting coach for the Dodgers. And he talked a lot about how, you know, it helps having good baseball players, but also helps having those assistants too. And so I like the idea of the Cubs having other ones as well on top of Dustin Kelly. So, just hope it works out. That's all I can ask for.
Yeah, and again, I'll go back to the fact that he said it, but it's also, in my opinion, the biggest thing that's working in his favor, again, is just knowing the players in the system already. Like, Greg Brown was very sought after hitting coach, and for good reason. Like, he worked with the Rays for a while, and he, you know, as there, you know, in a similar role to what Dustin Kelly was just in, and he, you know, he was at the Rays, and we know the Rays develop hitters, like, you know, they just turn them out. They develop everything, just turn them out really well. Mm-hmm. And that's why Greg Brown was so sought after. But he also was coming into a brand new organization that he didn't know. And, you know, maybe the things he was trying to implement and his communication wasn't quite at the level that it needed to be with, you know, everyone on the same page in all capacities. A guy that's in the system now, has been in the system and is coming up, and already knows some of these players, at least a little bit. And you know, he said he's talked to Nico and Ian already, like, who are two of the Cubs, you know, better. You know, those are the two probably top players in that lineup right now. He's talked to them. He knows some of these guys that have come up already. It's just that whole previously having relationships, that aspect of it is going to help him, in my opinion, is going to help him kind of hit the ground running. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's not going to be because they weren't on the same page. I think that relationship will help them get there. Yeah. We'll help them get there very quickly.
Right. There's one comment that came up that I guess it's kind of related to Bellinger, but it's from Nicholas. He said, "Would you rather have Bellinger or Abreu if you had to only pick one to sign this offseason?" And I find it interesting because we're just kind of shooting the shit today. I think that the Cubs should be in on both, personally. And if they're not, then yes, we are a poverty franchise.
Because you could put Bellinger in the outfield.
Right. But if I had to choose just one, say the Cubs, you know, got another guy to replace the other one, right? But if I had to choose just one, I would say that I'd probably rather have Abreu than Bellinger.
Well, if you're looking for guaranteed offense, which is something the Cubs are looking, improving the offense, Abreu was still playing at a high level offensively last year. He wasn't hit as many home runs, right, but he was still a way better offensive player than Cody Bellinger was.
I just think there's more options at center field.
Here's why I like Bellinger.
Okay.
If I had to choose one, because you can put Bellinger in center or first, which gives you that alternative. And if you sign them both, which is the perfect plan, you don't have to say, well, Bellinger can only play center field. No, because Abreu's getting older, and Mervis is going to take some at-bats, but there may be times where you just put Abreu at DH,
mm-hmm,
and then Bellinger could split the time with Mervis at first. So I like having the flexibility of a guy that could defensively, at a high level, play center field and first base.
Yeah. I guess the way that I look at it more so is –
but you know, I like Abreu.
We, you know, you get a veteran at first base plus Mervis, you know, flip-flopping between first and DH. But then also, from what I feel like with the Cubs situation in center field, like if they don't get Bellinger, then Kiermaier is, you know, he's not as good. I mean, neither one of them are great offensive players at this point in their careers, right? But they're both great defensive players. But also, like, there's got to be a spot for Brennan Davis anyway, and I think Brennan Davis is going to be on this team early next year. I mean,
Unless there's we hope. Unless there's a setback or unless the Cubs want him to get more at-bats just because of how many he missed out on last year, I just assume that they're going to want to get him in there sooner rather than later, especially if he has a great spring. So not that I think that Brennan Davis would get every single start in center field next year, especially at the start, but I do think that he would get a large majority of them. And if you pair him with Kiermaier instead, like, I'm okay with that. When on the other end, when it comes to first base, I'm like, okay, you just have a rookie there and one that isn't as highly touted as one like Brennan Davis was. I feel like I can have a little bit more trust with Brennan Davis than I can Mervis. So that's kind of the way I look at it.
Matthew Gregory makes a good point. He has a diehard.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, do you really think we can pencil Davis in as a sure thing? I don't think you can.
I don't think when you pencil somebody in, that's not a sure thing. If you take a magic marker and say he's in center field, if you have hopes that he can be there.
I don't think you can really pencil him in for anything before All-Star break or before the real midway point of the season. He missed an entire season of development. Like early May is when he didn't play and then he didn't come back again until like around September ish. Then he only played 5 games in the Arizona Fall League. From the reports, it feels like he's going to be fine for spring training, all that stuff. And I get it, but is he going to be? He's not going to be ready to go by opening day. I mean, I think that's an unlikely scenario. I think the likely scenario is that they send him down to AAA to start the season and just let him get at bats there. I don't think Brennan Davis is. I'm kind of in the same position as I was last offseason when we first launched. It's like All-Star break would be probably the latest I would go, but I wouldn't go much earlier than like June.
But it's also like why you were saying, whoever's in center field is not a long-term contract. Just like Abreu wouldn't be a long-term contract. It's a short contract. And if you end up with a logjam of guys in center field, like if you sign one of these guys and you feel like they're blocking Brennan Davis and Brennan Davis shows you in AAA that he is ready and he is healthy, well, then you work things around. Then maybe somebody start, I'm not saying, we don't know what's happening with Ian Happ yet. We don't know if that extension's coming. So we don't know if somebody be moved. We don't know if somebody would, Ian Happ might be your DH.
Yeah.
And then, even though he's a Gold Glove winner, maybe is somebody shifted over? Does Suzuki become a, I don't know.
Yeah. I guess from the sense of, I guess we really don't know about Brennan Davis, I guess I have more optimism about him.
Yeah, you could be optimistic. I just think it's, especially when you're comparing him to, Matt Mervis, I would say, how did you phrase it?
Trust or belief in Brennan Davis at this point than I do Matt Mervis.
See, and I'm kind of flipped.
People have forgot what he did the year before last. He rose to be the Cubs' top prospect.
Yeah, and I get that, but I'm saying I think the
back injury,
the back, just all year, the back stuff has really, the back stuff and just a lack of development for pretty much an entire season is what would cause me to, if I were to put the stock in one of those two guys, I'd probably put Mervis. Not saying that either Mervis is going to be better than Brennan Davis in the long run,
right?
But you don't know what you have in Brennan Davis right now anymore just because the injuries have cost him a really important season for him. Whereas Matt Mervis exploded this year to the level where he is actually legitimately in play for opening day.
What's funny is that we're talking about worrying about blocking Brennan Davis, but nobody's talking about, none of us are talking about blocking Nick Madrigal. Somebody that's already at the major league level, we're talking about a AAA player who's a top prospect but has been injured, and we're already elevating him above what we've seen out of Madrigal, who was a key piece of the trade. It's interesting. I think more people are high on Brennan Davis than they would be Madrigal at this point.
It would be interesting to see what we would all be saying right now if Madrigal just had been able to play all season. If he played he did in August all season. Madrigal played like he did in August all season, I would say if we're signing one of those four, you put him at third base. I absolutely would say that, but this is the thing that I've been preaching all year about, or all offseason with the Cubs, is like, you cannot let Nick Madrigal be a reason that you don't go and get one of those guys, right? That's the thing. Like, and I was someone who wanted to believe in Nick Madrigal at the beginning of the year. In our preseason prediction thing, I said he was going to be comeback player of the year because I wanted to believe in him, all right? The guy started off the year slow, then was hurt, then came back, got hurt again, then came back, had a great August, and then got hurt again. Like,
yeah.
I just – you cannot bank on him being able to give you 162 games. Like, if people are going to tell me, sit in the chat and tell me – I saw a comment earlier. Someone said, oh, Correa's never played – he's played 150 games once. Well, if you're going to say that, then why are we even considering Nick Madrigal to be the starting second baseman for the Cubs next season?
In a perfect scenario, you signed Correa – you think he's your shortstop. Nico agrees to move to second, and Nick Madrigal shows up at spring training and wows you and is like, whoa, barrel after barrel after barrel after, and he forces it at some point early in the season where you're like, we've got to get Madrigal in the lineup, and Correa, you're playing third.
Yeah.
And Wisdom, you're not playing. And that's great.
There, again, and then we go back to what we've talked about the last couple of weeks as – with this DH spot, there are so many ways to rotate those.
Yes.
To rotate those three in and out of the middle infield. Like, they, you have a DH spot. You know, Carlos Correa is going to probably need a day off or a day out of the field at least here and there. Let him DH, you know, move Nico back to shortstop for a day and let Nick Madrigal play second. Like, there's, as long as he's playing well, like, there's so many ways to rotate these three around right. That, like you said, it's like, it's, even if Nick Madrigal had a great year this year, it shouldn't stop the Cubs from wanting to add to their middle infield because the DH helps with a lot of those things.
And I'm not even saying that I'm like full on out on Nick Madrigal. Like, some people are in here saying that he's toast. Like, you're talking about a 25-year-old top five pick of the draft. Maybe he was overdrafted, whatever. People said that about Kyle Schwarber too. But I just think at the current state where the Cubs are currently at with their roster, you cannot just bank on Nick Madrigal being able to play those games. It's like the same thing that we said about Nico Hoerner last year. That's why the Cubs were – we wanted the Cubs to sign Correa last year, is because you didn't know what you're going to get on Nico Hoerner. Now you got Nico Hoerner, who's proved himself for a year that he can be a guy up the middle for, you know, a good five-year stretch at the very least. You want to pair him with someone like Correa or Turner, whoever. And, yeah, if Madrigal comes in the spring and looks different, and like me and Ryan said it back in August, September, where – this is a big offseason for Madrigal. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to find a way to get his body right to where he does not get hurt and have, like, all these soft tissue injuries and stuff like that. If he can play, we've seen that he can be a good baseball player. I'm not saying that he's not a good baseball player. Some of you in the chat are saying that. He's shown to be a good baseball player and shown that the pros and the cons of what he is. He can be very useful on this roster. But you can't bank on it. Not with where this team is at. And again, they are the goddamn Chicago Cubs. We are not the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Pittsburgh Pirates are a team that would do something like that. That's how I feel about it. You cannot you set yourself up for failure again if you go into next season and Nick Madrigal is your starting second baseman, given the full opportunity to start.
But this is a reason why you can't count on Brendan Davis either. You can't count on any of these guys that are minor leaguers for anything. That's why you have to add, you have to go.
And again,
what I'm trying to say is you have Jose Abreu. He wants to come to the Cubs. Yeah, you can't say we have Matt Mervis coming. No. You go get him. Let Matt Mervis develop how he needs to develop. Give him time to acclimate to the major league game. Because if he's going to be your first baseman of the future, he doesn't need to be your first baseman everyday starter right now. Same thing in center field with Brendan Davis or Peter Armstrong next year. If those guys are, we'll stick with Brendan Davis for this year. If he's ready to come up in May, well, first of all, that's a whole month of you need someone incentive to play center field. But also, like, is he going to be fully ready to go, hit the ground running, and is going to be the everyday starting center fielder? Who knows? Yeah. Is he going to be healthy every day? Who knows? Like, you're going to need someone, and you need the Cubs were dead last in like defensive runs saved at center field this year. You need an upgrade. You need someone that can provide a steady glove. And guys like we said, Cody Bellinger, if he's a free agent, Kevin Kiermaier potentially, if he's healthy, would provide good defensive gloves, but also wouldn't stop Brendan Davis from eventually becoming the starting center
again,
fielder.
Again, the entire question was brought up because someone said if we had to choose one. The Cubs absolutely should, if Bellinger becomes available, they should definitely get him, and they should still be in on someone like Abreu or Josh Bell.
Yes.
Absolutely.
After they sign Correa.
Absolutely. There is no excuse, no reason not to be in on both. That would be another reason that I would then start calling them a poverty franchise if they were to only get one and not another.
You're just not going to bet all of your money on Nick Madrigal being your second baseman next season. But Cody might bet all of his money on college basketball this weekend or snowy football games like he did last night. Winner, chicken dinner.
Shout out to Western and Eastern Michigan. I stand the entire state of Michigan until
what a wild parlay
tonight. Yeah, Western Michigan. Plus 1,700 something after the DraftKings boost. A $5 bet won me $90. It was awesome. But it was Eastern Michigan money line and Western Michigan money line. Maction is the best. It remains undefeated.
Die hard.
So you stand all of Michigan except for Central Michigan,
Central
right?
and North and South Michigan.
And the University of Michigan.
And the University of Michigan.
Mostly.
Especially them. Yeah. I do not stand them. Corey, I hope you heard that. Okay. Anyway, I won some coin on the state of Michigan last night on DraftKings. It's my favorite app. You guys know I roll over every day when I wake up. I open up DraftKings. I actually did that this morning to place a bet on Furman. Yeah, Furman and Penn State to go under 146 and a half.
Name anymore.
And they did go under 146 and a half.
1-800-522.
But you could have bet on the Bulls game last night, and if you did, I'm sorry if you took the Bulls because that was tough. NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back. So tip off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make any $5 NBA moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings up to 100% with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, place a stepped up same game parlay today with payouts bigger than ever. DraftKings Sportsbook is where I go to bet on the NBA. You know, when I bet the NBA, I only bet on the Bulls, on Bulls games because I don't follow all the other teams as much. I love to bet on the NFL or college football. You know, tonight I'm going to take Titans plus 3.5 against those cucks up in Wisconsin. I'm feeling it. Derrick Henry is going to have himself a night. Also, Mike Vrabel, 20-7 against the spread as an underdog. I mean, the football gods are giving it to us. The gambling gods better show up tonight. All right, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code CHGO. Make any $5 bet this week and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code CHGO. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details in the podcast or YouTube description.
You know,
it's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
Absolutely.
There you go. I'm kind of excited for this Wrigley Field DraftKings sportsbook to open up. Because, you know, like when you watch World Series of Poker and they all got like sunglasses on, they all got their shades on, their poker face kind of thing.
Right.
I'm going to walk in there one day and I'm going to see Cody at the tables, you know, just watching sports with sunglasses on.
Del Mendo.
Yeah, his own poker face.
What kind of sunglasses?
What kind of sunglasses?
Oh.
Shady Rays.
Shady Rays.
He's going to be wearing Shady Rays.
The only sunglasses I wear.
Uh-huh. Shady Rays never understood why sunglasses were so expensive, so they set out to change it. You don't have to break the bank for quality sunglasses this fall because our friends at Shady Rays have you covered. Shady Rays are premium polarized shades featuring world-class optical clarity, substantial durability, and styles catered to everyone and every lifestyle. The best part about Shady Rays, they have the most insane protection program in all of eyewear, lost and broken replacements. If you lose or break your shades on day one, they told us that they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. You drop them in a lake, you drop them off a cliff, anything, they'll replace them. Even with that strong of a protection program, they still managed to make quality that I could tell you holding in my hand seems just as good as any expensive pair that I have ever worn. Shady Rays customers seem to agree with over 200,000 five-star reviews. Shady Rays also provides 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every order placed, and have donated over 20 million meals to date. They stand behind their product and told our team that if anyone has a problem, they throw profit out the window and do what it takes to get it right. You got free returns and exchanges. You either love the shades or Shady Rays will pay to ship them back. That's it. And exclusively for our listeners, Shady Rays is running their deepest deal of the season. Use code CHGO for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. Buy one and get one free.
Oh,
you
can, no.
You get two pairs for as low as $54. Remember, code is CHGO. Redeem only at ShadyRays.com where you can find all their newest and best shades.
Beautiful. We only have a couple minutes left in the show. Do we want to talk? Do you guys rather talk about the All-Star game? Potential for Wrigley Field. It's going to be the Rangers. Or would you rather talk Aaron Judge collusion? Allegedly.
I kind of want to talk about Pete Rose.
You want to talk Pete Rose?
That's fine.
I'll talk about Pete Rose. Because
how me and Yasiel Puig are like the most relatable guys ever.
Betting on
for you, yeah.
Yes. Well, he's the most relatable athlete that I've ever had.
If Cody could have hit a curveball as a kid, listen, he'd have been betting on the games.
We could do the All-Star game because I saw people earlier in the chat mentioning.
Talking
the
All-Star about
game.
It?
Yeah.
It so 2024 is going to be the Rangers hosting it. And everybody keeps thinking, when is it going to be Wrigley Field? Because it was the 90s the last time it was at Wrigley Field. Sandberg, I said I went to the Home Run Derby.
It was 1990, right?
Yeah. 1990,
Home Run
exactly.
Derby like one of the worst ever?
He hit two home runs in the Home Run Derby because the wind was howling in. Two home runs won the Home Run Derby. It was Ryan Sandberg.
Wow.
Wild.
A little pink hat when he came to the ballpark. It was pretty cool to see all the players. At that time, no interleague play, so to see the American League players was like
a big deal.
It was a huge deal, you know?
Yeah.
I would like to see it back at Wrigley. I know, and Jared was saying this in our chat, that one of the problems has been that, and they're supposed to be high on Wrigley Field still, but the visitors' clubhouse is still. While it's been greatly improved for the renovation, and it is bigger than it was,
yeah,
it is still very, very small. So one of the teams is going to be in a very small clubhouse compared to the other one. And so they would have to figure out a way to make some sort of legit clubhouse for the other team. It's just not an all-star type experience. Now, the rest of the ballpark is, though. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So find a way to make a bigger temporary clubhouse.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't realize how long it's been since an All-Star game was at Wrigley Field until
today. I graduated high school.
I wasn't even a thought.
90. I graduated high school.
I wasn't even a thought in my parents' head. I don't think my parents had even met at this point.
Well, in 90, I was born in 91, so I wasn't a thought in my parents' head.
First of all, you've had almost every team in Major League Baseball since then get a new ballpark. So they've just been rotating through all the new ballparks for a long time.
Mm. And the Cubs aren't going to.
The Cubs aren't going to, but at some time you've got to pay your respect to
Wrigley Field.
Well,
the federal landmark is.
Yeah, the federal landmark. Yeah,
Dom likes to say.
So what is it, 2025? They're one of the
ballpark too.
One of the favorites, I guess, to land it for 2025?
I guess that's the rumor. Okay.
That's what Rob Manfred said.
So, cool. Like, I'd love to see it happen just in time for the peak of the next great Cubs team.
Well, they got to finish building the sports book.
It wasn't Rob Manfred. It was...
I hope it comes in, like, 2024, 2025, because the sports book will be built. We will be doing, perhaps might be doing something there just because it's going to be a DraftKings sports book.
Right.
And, like, all the renovations will be done by then.
Yeah.
Like, all of it. And, I think... Then would be a great time to do something like this. And I know the Cubs want to do it because this is up Michael Collada's alley. Like,
money
Tom
maker.
Rickett's going to make a ton of money off that.
Of money. The hotel will be filled.
Oh, yeah. There will be people who will spend way too much for that
by
hotel.
Then, by then, Ohtani's on the Cubs.
Oh, yeah.
So
with Correa and Judge.
Yes. Brennan Davis.
It wasn't Rob Manfred that I had seen say it. It was Bob Nightingale that said the Cubs were one of the favorites for 2025. Okay. Toronto,
same thing.
Toronto, Baltimore, Atlanta, and Chicago Cubs are leading candidates for 2025.
They choose Toronto before the Cubs. They've been in the same
Toronto's
ballpark
supposed
forever.
To be a great city, but like,
but their ballpark is
right. Agreed.
They need to bring it back to Wrigley with the big scoreboards and everything that's around it now. People would like it. Also, I'll be living here, so I'll be right there. I care more. I'm very selfish about it.
There you go. So. That's fair.
Admittedly.
Yeah, selfish. As long as you admit it.
Yeah. So.
And Colada says, don't forget, we got the new light bulbs, too.
And Gallagher Way.
And those ought to make up a little bit for the smaller clubhouse.
And Gallagher Way and new light bulbs, or new bathrooms. He didn't let us forget that part.
The American League team can dress at the CHGO bar if they want.
There you go.
We don't care.
That's fair. I'll be nice, unless they're the White
Sox. We'll valet them over there on scooters.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got more shows coming up next week. Again, the big announcement today was diehard level. For the memberships have gone, like if you were an original member here at CHGO, allchgo.com, we've unlocked tons of content, so now way more people can have access to it. A lot of great Cub stuff from Ryan in there. Get the membership, $79.99. You get 20% off all the merch. You get 20% off all of our group events. You get 20% off all of our tailgates. You get a free shirt every year. You'll definitely make up for it really, really quickly. And again, you will also get many, many cool perks, including merch that won't be available to everybody else, that they won't be able to get it.
Oh, yeah.
We got some cool stuff coming out, and some of that will be just for members only. So, and by Matthew Gregory already did it. He said, imagine not being a diehard.
I can't imagine
being a diehard.
I can't imagine it.
Been diehard.
I mean, I'd probably, you know, shed a tear for you if you weren't a diehard.
I just
separates the men from the boys.
I just expect a lot of our Cubs chat to end up on the diehard list because I don't think there's another team in this town that has more diehard fans than Cub fans. Period.
I agree.
Like I expect there to be more diehards out of Cubs fans than I expect any other team in town to have diehards.
Maybe we should have a competition.
Maybe the Bears.
Maybe there should be a competition for that. Like, who has
we got 108 people watching, and there ain't no major Cubs news today. Like, that's awesome.
Correa still has not signed.
Yeah.
We hope
it's tomorrow.
We'll see.
So, Ryan and Brendan and Corey will have a podcast for you tomorrow.
Hopefully.
Or.
Hopefully we have an urgent one.
Yeah. Could have the emergency podcast.
Emergency.
We keep saying.
Herb doesn't want me to say emergency anymore.
Oh, that's true.
Get those alerts, diehards, so you know you're not missing it. Make sure you subscribe and sign up and all those things.
Definitely, if something happens, we will be live remotely.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend.
We're head on a swivel. We'll be ready to go.
If they
signed
Correa, Cody's probably going to have a GoPro on his head.
You know, having a couple drinks, double fisting possibly, and then the news drops. I'm running. I'm somehow getting home, and we're doing a podcast.
Cody will be at Murphy's. They signed Correa. He'll slap down his diehard card and say, pick up everybody's tab, and then he'll walk out. I got everybody's drinks, and it just slide the CHGO diehard card. They'll look at me like, this isn't a credit card.
It's like when you have the McLovin ID when you watch Superbad back in the day.
Yeah. It works every time.
It works every time.
Thanks for checking out the CHGO Cubs podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook. We will see you back here next week again, Brendan and Corey, on Friday, and maybe an emergency podcast from us. We'll see you next week.